Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Vasi Hantalis, your host for Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Our topic today is how to embody fierce joy in leadership and life. And our leading lady today is Anne Rose Hart, a mindset and mojo mentor for self-actualizing women. She helps evolutionary leaders to unleash their awesomeness and creative power as joyful agents of change. Good morning, Anne, and welcome.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I'm really looking forward to exploring this topic of fierce joy with you. And so let's start there. You know, what is fierce joy?
That's a powerful phrase, don't you think? It really encapsulates for me has been what is now my life's work. It's been a decade of exploration, experimenting, and embodiment for myself, from which the original question was, what does it take to live a life of joy? Because this all came from the opposite of joy for me. I was stressed out, miserable, and really at a crossroads. And so that question was launched, what does it take to live a life of joy? And along the way, one of the critical factors is this fierceness that it takes, because our society is set up not to encourage or support people in really expressing their full creativity or living a life of joy. You kind of stand out if you're that happy or fulfilled. It's not the norm yet. And so to cut through that static of mediocrity or conformity or complacency, we've got to have a fierceness. And it requires courage to do the thing that you know in your heart you want to do, but maybe you don't have role models, you don't have support, you've never done it before. It takes fierce boundaries to say yes to more of what brings you joy and no to that which is an obligation or draining. It just requires this fierceness of determination to say, I'm going to go for my dreams no matter what, no matter how hard. And so joy is not just rainbows and butterflies, hippy skippy. There's moments like that, but the deeper joy really calls on us to embody a fierceness that we need to really embody a deeper level of power in order to inhabit that space.
You know, that piece you just mentioned about power is so important for us. And so, you know, you said something a little bit earlier about how you did. So how did you come to do this work?
Well, everything worthwhile starts from rock bottom, right? So this has been a little over a decade ago. I was miserable. I was in a very toxic marriage. I was doing unfulfilling work. I didn't have a clear sense of purpose for my life. I had a pretty low self-esteem, and I had a lot of negative self-talk, and I didn't have skills or tools or practices around that to support me. I also didn't have community or sisterhood that let me know there was anything to do or any transformation available. So I was really depressed, and I was really feeling unfulfilled and stuck and, you know, just kind of slowly going crazy. And you know, the blessings come from unexpected gifts. And my gift was that a very dear friend of mine was killed suddenly in an accident. And certainly there's no gift in that. I was heartbroken. But in his death, there were a number of synchronicities that happened that got me asking the bigger questions about life. Like, you know, where do you go after you die? And where did we come from before we were born? And what's really going on? I just started asking those questions because of a number of experiences I had that were very synchronistic. And with that came this question of, you know, he was killed suddenly in an accident that could have just as easily happened for me. And I'm still here and he's gone. What am I doing with my life? If I died tomorrow, would I be happy with how I lived? And I didn't like the answer. I felt like my life had been a total waste. I was in my mid-30s and, like, you know, I have a master's degree in history and I was doing some website development work as for my career. And, you know, it was fine. I was living in a comfortable home and on the surface it looked like I had everything, but I was so empty inside. And his death sparked that drive inside of me to say, you know what? I want to live differently. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know what that takes, but this sucks. And I can't go any lower, so let me try to figure out what does it look like to bring joy into my life. And because of the just a couple of really profound experiences that happened for me right around his death, it sparked this fierceness for me that said, I have to figure this out no matter what it takes. I want to live this experiment. And so it started as an experiment to say, well, what does it take to choose joy? And there's, you know, the physiological aspects of shifting the biochemistry. There's the life purpose alignment aspects of starting to get connected with a bigger purpose. There's the daily choices of living in alignment with my values. And, you know, all of it just creates this this kind of spectrum of practices that now have developed over the last decade into my coaching practice and the programs and the retreats that I lead and all of those things where we just craft out what does it take to live a life of fierce joy.
You know, I really appreciate you sharing that story because I'm sure, well, I know for myself and for our listeners, we've been at those points where you just kind of wonder, you know, how you can bring more purpose into your life and what it's really about and how you can make the impact. It's such a common question. But what's interesting and unique is the way that you approach that question and where you went. So, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, what are some things that women can do to embody fierce joy? You know, what are some things that have helped you and that you share with the women that you work with?
Sure. You know, let's start with the physiological shifts because I find that once we know and have mastery over shifting our state of our body, mind, and emotions, it opens up the space for everything else. And typically, if we are not in an empowered relationship with our emotions or our feelings or even discomfort in our body, it's very easy to stay stuck in this disempowered state of life happens to me and I'm a victim of it and I don't have choices. So let's start with a state shift practice. And by that, I simply mean learning how to use the power of your intention and choice to shift the state of your body. So in the quantum play work that I've created that I do, this piece of intentional laughter, it sounds so bizarre, but I'll share with you more in just a second. This is what totally changed everything for me, and this is why I do it. We're just choosing to ha, 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 bring in some laughter sound effects with our breath, and the power in that is profound. So let me just share with you briefly before we do an exercise. That was the very first practice that came to me on this journey. I was, you know, working through the sense of purpose and finding my path. But when things really got bad, when I was so stressed out, I wasn't sleeping. My son was, you know, 10 months old. I hadn't slept in months. My marriage was falling apart. It was rock bottom. I just looked like death warmed over. And I got this magazine in the mail. It talked about the power of intentional laughter in one of the articles. And I thought, well, it's interesting. It makes a lot of sense. And at the same time, I thought, it's really weird, you know, and it's really pathetic that our society is at the place where we have to have classes on laughing. You've got to be kidding me, right? But my intuition said, that's for you. You need to do that. And I was like, I'm not doing that. That's weird. No, I need something serious. You don't understand. And so I rejected it for months. But finally, when I decided to start this practice of intentional laughter as a daily practice, my life changed so swiftly. And in hindsight, I discovered it was because I was engaging in shifting my state every day, shifting the biochemistry of stress into a biochemistry of happiness, a biochemistry of disempowerment and lethargy into a biochemistry that supported creativity and action. And so there's a million things that happen when we choose to laugh. We start flooding our body with endorphins. We start shifting the way that we're breathing. We bring our nervous system into a calmer space. We shift the brain waves that are happening in our neurophysiology. And on and on and on the list goes. Everybody knows laughter is the best medicine. But it doesn't matter if you know that. It only matters if you do it.
So true. Yeah.
This is what we're going to do. Let's do a little laughter exercise just to get some mojo flowing and start, letting everybody feel the energy. And so for everybody listening, this is an invitation to not just listen, but actually play along, even if it feels really weird, because there's going to be clues in what comes up for you when we're laughing. It's really important just to pay attention to. And we'll talk about that when we're done. So
Anne, could I just interrupt you for just a moment? Because I just had this sense that I wanted to just have everyone just kind of on a scale of 1 to 5, if 5 was like ultimate joy, where you were just so joyful, just right now, just for yourself, before you do this exercise, just mark where you are internally. Just kind of check in. Where am I? 1 is like blah. 5 is really joyful. And just notice where you're at. And then Anne's going to lead us through this exercise.
Oh, that's perfect. Yes, thank you. Wherever you start is fine. So I want to share this project that I call the Mojo Dial. And it's just imagining that you've got a dial in your body, and when your mojo is low, you know it. You just feel like, I got nothing, or maybe you're feeling upset or depressed or anxious. And when you've got a lot of mojo, you feel amazing, energized, enthused, right? So our mojo dial begins with level 1, which is just our breath. And so it's really important that we start with just connecting in with our body. And I'll invite us just to take a deep breath. Long exhale. And bring the breath all the way into your belly. Let your belly totally relax. Now, stage 2 of our mojo dial is our posture, bringing your spine erect as if there's a thread connecting the crown of your head all the way up to the ceiling. Feel yourself sitting up taller. And again, breathing. Sounds so elementary, but these are the simple shifts that add up. Okay, our next one is now smiling. Smile. Bring your cheeks into a smile. Let those little muscles in the corner of your eye get all crinkly, like you got a little twinkle in your eye. You can't fake the smile. Okay, now already you've started shifting the biochemistry, and we haven't even gotten to laughter. And so I want to pause here, because there's times when laughter is too far of a stretch. Maybe you're really frustrated or grieving or depressed or whatever, and laughter is just too far on the spectrum. You can start with breath, posture, smile, and you're going to start changing the biochemistry. Your body is already starting to produce endorphins. The breath is calming your nervous system. Your posture is bringing you into a more empowered stance. So just checking in right now and noticing what you notice, very subtle. And now we're going to add the 4th stage on the mojo dial, which is just saying the word ha. Ha, ha, ha. We're not laughing yet. But the word ha is what I call a pattern interrupt. When there's nothing funny, even if you choose to just interject the word ha, and not to be, socially disrespectful of other people with this practice, but just in your own state. So what's happened over the years as I've trained myself, when something appears to go wrong, just to automatically do these shifts, breath, posture, smile, ha, 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 and it's more of our sarcastic ha, like, oh, ha, 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 didn't see that coming, or ha, 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 whoops. And what it does is it just starts to create a little space. between the story that could kick in of, I'm so frustrated, and, oh, I have space over my response, or I have control over my response. So we've got ha, 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 ha. And now we're going to put it all together, and our fifth stage is just to let yourself laugh. Even if you're faking it, it's okay. We're going to laugh. You and I will laugh together, and then people who are listening can laugh along. And just notice how easy is it, how awkward is it, what comes up, and where does the energy move in your body. So here we go. I'll invite us just to take another deep breath in. And on the exhale, ha, 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 here we go. Okay, now let's check in again. What are you noticing? And I'll ask you, Vasi, what are you noticing just from that little...
Oh, my gosh. I'm noticing that my, whole chest has expanded. Like, I feel looser. I feel, this flow through my body. You know, I notice when I'm laughing, I'm actually moving my body, you know, and I got the energy going to part, all different parts. Yeah. I feel super happy. And I started happy, so that was kind of nice to go to a whole other level of happy.
Right. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because I want to speak to that point because it's like laughter amplifies whatever is there. So if you're already happy, it can take you to a much more spacious state of lightness. But if you're feeling horrible and you laugh, it can really stir up some really intense negative emotions too. So I want to just touch on that briefly because the purpose here is not to suppress the negative emotions or just try to smile and laugh through it and suck it up, I'll be okay, and reject that part of ourselves. What I find is that the laughter is like a litmus test, and it stirs up where there are these unresolved emotions or unresolved issues that are trying to get your attention through negative emotion and you're not paying attention. So if you're feeling pissy, if you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling, you know, resentful, if you're feeling overwhelmed, the invitation is not to squish it. The invitation is just to say, oh, that is trying to get my attention. Let me really be present and listen for what the message is, because there's some way in which I'm abdicating what's important to me. I'm abdicating myself. I'm abandoning my values. I'm not saying what needs to be said. I'm not expressing what needs to be expressed. I'm holding back somehow. And my emotion is trying to let me know. So if you're laughing and you just makes you feel worse, there's a reason to lean into the darkness and get curious about where you're being invited to show up more fully as yourself. So I just wanted to add that for context.
Mm-hmm. I like that part about it being a litmus that are coming up, because it seems to me there's a myth or something that holds us back, you know, in terms of being our fierce selves in the world or something.
Yeah.
Could you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. Well, what came to mind when you said that was, even with the laughter piece, kind of the myth that we're supposed to feel good all the time, or if you are living your purpose, then you'll feel good all the time, or that even being in leadership means always, you know, having your stuff together. And that's the myth. And the laughter piece opens up one end of the spectrum for us to feel more joy and ease, but it also invites us to step into our power so that we can more fully embrace the darkness and the shadow and the stuff we'd rather not touch too. We've got to be able to hold all of that. And that means not only in the physical state every day, you know, am I feeling light or am I feeling sad? Am I feeling good or bad? But also you go forth in your life and here's a day that things go phenomenally and the wind is in your sails and wow, we love days like that. And then the next day when, you know, the internet goes down and somebody gets in a fender bender and your kid spills the milk and you're late. You know, all the stuff that happens, the big stuff and the small stuff, our fierce joy comes when we can be the container that's big enough to hold all of it. And just say, yep, this is my life. The ups and the downs, none of it is a problem. Some of it feels good, some of it feels bad, but my joy is not being sourced from the external environment. My joy comes from me continuing to live in alignment with my purpose, my values, and the decisions that I make each day that I know bring more of what I want into my life. And it requires this kind of objectivity. It requires this spaciousness, this commitment, just that fierceness of, here's the waves on the surface of the ocean. It's like a hurricane in my life. And I am the calm at the center of the storm that just keeps going no matter what. Or take the nap. What, you know, it's not always action, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking about all that we're seeing in the world today, all the challenges women are facing, challenges of women in leadership. And so, you know, let's talk a little bit about what you've seen with, or maybe not what you've seen, I mean, I would love, but also what is the potential of us as leaders embodying fierce joy?
Yeah. You know, we're at such a pivotal time in history right now where there is this shift in the paradigm of leadership happening. And it's this shift from force and directive style leadership at the expense of connection, collaboration, into bringing more balance into how our leaders show up in leadership. And so we are being invited to bring more compassion and mindfulness and presence and sustainability and inclusivity and all of these values into leadership so that we start to craft the social structures that let us all cohabit more peacefully, right? And so it is absolutely imperative that any single one of us that is called into leadership, which I know is everybody listening, you wouldn't be listening to this if that's not you, to step up in a bigger way in your life, in your community, in your organization, whatever that looks like for you, to say, I'm taking a fierce stand for what I know in my heart is the right thing. I can't tolerate these other ways of behavior. And what is it like to show up with that fierceness and at the same time, you know, embody these values? How do I bring fierceness with compassion? And it's not always lovey-dovey, you know. How do I bring fierceness into doing the right thing, even when it's unpopular? You know, that's what we're being called to do, though, because without every single one of us showing up, you know, this is all hands on deck right now. This is the call that we are the ones that are making the changes, and we've got to know how to master our own states and our own alignment with our purpose every single day, because otherwise the change doesn't happen. It's up to us.
Yes. And what you said earlier about how we can be, we must be the calm in the storm because all this is going around. So if we are disoriented or drawn into things, we won't be able to stand in our own, what I call our own circle of power, because each one of us has that, whatever that looks like.
And, you know, what's interesting about the times right now is it's just increasingly so much more fragmented and polarizing and scary and divisive, and the energies of that pull us apart are being amplified, and it's really easy to be to get sucked into that and believe, well, this is how it is. What could we ever do? How could I make a difference? And yet it's by finding that place within each one of us that says, where is it that goes beyond that conflict, beyond the polarity in my body, that is that calm in the center of the storm? I've got to live that myself on a daily basis and then bring it into my, as you called it, the circle of power, the circles of influence that we have, our communities, our organizations. But it's all inside-out creation, and that's the power of fierce joy. Is you get to really master the skills of creating your life and our world from the inside out instead of being buffeted by the other forces of what other people want, what other people's priorities are, what, you know, what you think is something bigger than you. We have to show up and say, no, from the inside out, my heart says this is what's true, good, and beautiful in the world, and I'm going to be a voice of creating that.
Yes. And what's an example of someone that you've worked with or even for yourself where there's been that inside out creation and that embodiment of fierce joy?
You know, I've worked with such amazing women that are really leading revolutions in their own right. There's, you know, several that come to mind off the top of my head, but in each case, they're the ones that have a vision for how their industry, their field can be different. Some of them are working in you know, more traditional industries. Others are in the softer skills industries. Many are in healthcare and wellness. But just to say, okay, this is the common paradigm of most people. I'll use wellness as one of the examples. One of my clients is really shifting the paradigm of how we do healthcare and wellness. There's a million of us, you know, on the front lines here doing this work. But I'll just use it as an example because the traditional medical model feels like so huge. Where would you even start? Most people are buying into a particular level of consciousness about their medical choices or healthcare options. And so it takes such fierceness to do the work every day to get out in the world and educate people about different options. Just the education is, you know, that calls for something really deep inside of you. And then the other piece, especially if you're an entrepreneur, which my clients are, if you are out there doing something that nobody's done before, you are changing the conversation. You're changing the paradigm. You have all this education to do. You have to be really good at facing rejection. And because when you're trying to sell your services at first, people don't get it and you're not connecting with the right people. And, you know, this goes for anybody starting their business or starting a new idea. Like, how do you maintain your resilience in the face of intense adversity? And these are the practices. Like, if life is not going your way, all you've got left is your attitude, your state, what you put your focus on, how you manage your body, how you manage your physiology. That's all we have left. We can't control anybody outside of ourselves. So these are the nitty-gritty conversations I have every day with my tribe is, you know, in the face of these intense challenges, how do you wake up and keep going? Because it feels bigger than you. It's exhausting. It's overwhelming. There's way more on your to-do list than you'll ever get done. You have this chronic sense of anxiety. Like, what do you do with that? Ha, 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 ha. Well, it's not funny, but ha, ha, ha. That's right. I said I was going to be a leader. What? Why did I take the red pill? Like, what was I thinking? Right.
So you go back to shifting state because that's the one thing we have control over, you're saying, as a leader.
That's the foundation. That's the foundation. Yeah. And then beyond that, we look at, you know, looking at your limiting beliefs, like where are you bringing forward a belief about yourself or about your possibilities that's creating a disempowered state? Because it's our thoughts that activate this state. And so, you know, the mindset is the next wave, and then the choices are the next wave. We're looking at the physical state, the thoughts, the choices, the behaviors, you know, the whole thing is just kind of a stacked house of cards. But we can dismantle the whole stack of disempowering choices and create something new when we know the stack.
And just in case our listeners may want to reach you after the show, how would you like them to contact you?
Oh, sure. My website is annroseheart.com. And on there, there's, you know, obviously there's a form that you can fill in and receive some free resources. There's a couple meditations that come with that first email. You'll be on my email list. So that would get you in touch with me. You can also email me directly at team, T-E-A-M, at annroseheart.com, and that'll find its way to me. And, you know, if there's somebody that is really feeling drawn to have a direct conversation, I'll just give you my phone number, too. The direct line to reach to get in touch with me would be 208-716-2465. And, you know, I always just trust the energy. If there's somebody that's really feeling drawn to connect, feel free to reach out. So email, website, or phone.
Thank you, Anne. And just letting our listeners know, if you didn't catch that, contact details, we'll have the information listed in our show notes, so you can also get that information there. So it's, you know, this time went by so fast, and this is such a great conversation. I'm sure we could easily go for another half hour or so. But I just wanted you to leave listeners and with a final thought or tip or, you know, whatever you're being guided to share with them at this point.
Yeah, what I would love to part with is just the remembering that it is your desire to live a life of joy or a greater impact and fulfillment that drives the train. Because everybody says, yeah, I want that. But on a scale of 1 to 10, you have to really assess, is my desire a 10? Because that's the fierceness. If it's not a 10, you're probably not going to make the choices that it takes to make the transformation in your own being and to do the hard, very uncomfortable work that it sometimes calls for, or to make the impact at that next level that you're being called to make in the outer world. And so your everyday practice gets to be on a scale of 1 to 10. How badly do I want this? And if it's not a 10, get curious. Why? What's holding you back? What would need to shift in your own mindset, your own beliefs, your own assumptions for it to be a 10? Because without a 10, you know, it's very difficult to make the change. And often that comes through intense contrast. You know, it took a friend of mine being killed to activate a 10 for me. I'm not sure I would have. And hopefully that's not the case for every one of us, but I certainly like to think that most of us can activate a desire without that intense level of tragedy. But our world is filled with tragedies, and there is all sorts of things that are unacceptable that we shouldn't even have to be taking a stand for. So let that crap of our current reality be the fire that fuels you to say, it's a 10, I will stand up for what I'm here to do in the world, my next level of purpose. I'll find my fierceness and go all the way, because you've got to have the 10, and it comes fueled by the darkness. So embrace the darkness and let it be the driver that takes us all to new levels of our fierce joy for all of us.
Wow, what great advice, and such a powerful note to end on. So that's our show for today, and thank you so much, Anne Rose Hart, for being our leading lady today. And a special thanks to all our listeners in the United States and internationally. And we'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. This is Vasi Hantalis, your host of Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Remember to stay true to you and your dream by asking this important question. What's the next bold step I can take to move my vision forward? Be the bold leader you were born to be and go for it.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.